welcome to the God is Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. It's Wednesday. It's your weekly gaming podcast, but it's also the last one probably until next year, because this, you know, next week's Game of the Year season, which means you'll be getting a podcast every day. And after that, we're having a break because it's Christmas and even we deserve a break, especially Nicola Ardron.
Yeah, especially me. I mean, I especially deserve a break.
I mean, I don't know why I said that really, but it's fallen that way. And, you know, and Gary, I think, you know, someone who I know, you know, you work in retail, you need a break as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, just a little bit. Oh, well, I mean, you can work through. No.
He's not keen on that, Adam. He's not keen.
Are you all right, Gaz? How are you? Because I'm still, obviously still full of cold. How are you?
I'm, you know, just all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit of everything, pains here and there, and just general bleh. So, I'm great.
Okay. I'm regretting asking that question.
I feel a bit like that at the moment as well.
Oh, God, no, no, no. God, God, no. What's going on?
I've woken up with a crick in my neck, and I'm really not happy.
I wonder if that's a term that translates to our American listeners, a crick in the neck.
Crick in the neck. Trapped a nerve.
Because crick in the neck, to me, seems like quite a very British terminology. I wonder if it is or not. If you're listening and you know, I don't know. I just think. I guess because crick in the neck sounds slightly like cricket in my head. And
that's yeah.
moving on. Moving on. Nicola, I know we're doing Game of the Year stuff. We're right in the middle of recording it. I said that last week. But what have you been? What have you been recording? I nearly said. What have you been playing that isn't, or you know, or is some Game of the Year stuff? What have you been playing generally?
I've been playing a little bit of Hello Neighbor.
Okay. That game seems like it's been coming forever.
Yeah. I need to spend some more time with it because at the moment, I don't really get it. I don't get it. It's a bit creepy as well.
Yeah. I was going to ask, before you get into what you think of it, can you explain how it starts? Because I played I don't know what it was, some sort of beta branch of it ages ago when we covered it on PC. But this is the final game.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember about it, the thing that they were sort of selling it on, is that the AI learns what you do. So if you keep trying to break in through the front door, there will be traps on the front door. But how does it, this is a full game now with a story, I'm guessing. How does it start? What's the premise?
So it starts off and you are a little boy.
Yeah.
Kicking a ball.
Okay.
And you sort of lose control of the ball and it rolls down the street and comes to a stop, you know, quite a distance from you outside of a house. So you walk down the street following the ball, and down the street on like lampposts and stuff are posters in gobbledygook.
Yeah.
But they look like missing posters, like missing kids.
Oh.
So you walk down the street and you pick up your ball and it's outside this house and you hear screaming coming from the house.
Does the house look like it's from Edith Finch? Like it looks like a million different bits all put together? Like
no,
really, really tall?
No. Oh. It's just a normal house, just a two-story house.
Okay.
And you look over and you can sort of see a man fighting with something or someone, and there's lots of screaming and noise, and then he shoves this person that you can't see, but you just assume is another person because it's screaming, shoves them into a room or a cupboard or something, and slams the door shut and locks it with a padlock. Now, by this point, you've sort of creeped up to the house to peer in properly through the window, and you see this going on. And then the mister turns round, sees you peering in the window, and he comes and he jumps out of the window and catches you. And you then get locked up. And then the screen goes funny, and next minute you're outside of the house again. So, and that's when you get control, and I guess you just assume that you've got to try and get into the house to find out what or who he's locked behind the door. Now, so of course, it's already set this idea up that there's lots of kids missing, and you're a little kid.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you anything. There's no prompts. It doesn't tell you how to pick things up or anything. You have to kind of work that out yourself, or you know, pause it and look at the menu. And it's all very brightly coloured. I mean, it's very it's very deceptive in that way, because it's very brightly coloured. It's cartoony sort of drawing, and the fella is, you know, he's kind of an oblong body shape with a fat head and like little skinny arms and legs.
Okay, so he looks, you know, same very guy then.
Yeah, so he's quite crudely drawn. So I've been trying to get into the house.
Yeah.
And so I had like maybe 10, 11 goes at getting into the house. Like, I climbed in through a window. I went through the front door. I've like peered through some keyholes. I finally worked out how to open a door, which was a nightmare. I've hidden in some cupboards, and I've been trying to find something that'll move me forward. And then on one of the captures, because it always ends with him capturing me.
Yeah, he grabs you, and then it starts again.
He grabs me, and then you start again outside the house.
Yeah, okay, so that's the same.
Now, in terms of it learning, I wouldn't necessarily say that I've noticed that so much at the moment, because I've been through the front door loads. There's nothing stopping me going through the front door.
Okay, so when I did that, what he would do is he would put, like, traps down, like literal bear traps.
The thing is, for example,
okay, that would be why then. Yeah, no, he has to catch you, I think. But like,
right.
So another one is, again, it's difficult because I don't know if it's the same house, and it sounds like it's not, but around the left-hand side in the garden, there was an electrical panel where you could turn the electric off.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you do that, he then puts a padlock on that or something like that, or he locks it, and then you could, the way to do that is then, oh, shit, now I've got to find a key to get in there. And that's what I'm trying to think of another example, but I can't quite think of a third. But that's the sort of thing I think they mean by him, the AI learning. And it was quite impressive, but I found it very, again, this, I'm not talking about the final game. I will play the final game. I found it quite difficult. Like, I couldn't get very far.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he just kept catching me.
It just doesn't seem to explain anything to you. And, like, I've been in every room that I can get into now, and I can't find anything. Like, I can't find a key. There's a number of rooms that have been padlocked off.
Yeah, yep.
And I can't find a key to open any of the padlocks. And then on one of the times where I got caught, I got caught and I woke up in a strange place. I wasn't on the street anymore. Now right. I was in a sort of dark room, and I saw the guy, and he sort of went out of a door, like down a long corridor. So I followed him down through there. And then I looked out of a window, and he crashed a car and done some strange. It was like almost like I was in a kind of dream sequence. And then I walked through a few more sort of corridors and opened a few more doors. And then all of a sudden he caught me again. And when I woke up, I was back on the street. And there'd been some subtle changes to the outside of the house, like that now there was a car crashed into the fence outside.
Oh, hang on. Okay. So I wonder if that's how, because the house it's just literally one street. You start outside your house where your car is. You've just moved in. There's like luggage and stuff. And his house is this, it's like a combination of kind of, you know how Edith Finch, the house is just,
yes,
they've added bits on and it keeps going up and up and up.
Yes.
Kind of a combination of that, but with the Pixar film Up's art style. And I wonder if the house I saw with like these multiple additions going off right high up into the sky.
Yes.
Perhaps, is that the progression? Like, if you get caught.
I suspect that is the case, because the house opposite to the one that you are trying to get in, it looks like it's empty.
Right.
Now, it's interesting to me because the stuff that I'd seen pre-release seemed to suggest that you were like a full-grown person.
Oh, okay.
And that you were, like you say, you'd moved in over the road. Whereas
the version I played, you're definitely a kid. You're definitely a kid in the one I played.
It's changed a lot, I think.
This one starts this one starts, and I don't even know if you live on this street. I don't really know.
Oh, weird. Because I also got the impression, Nick, that you're the bad guy in a way. Like, this guy, he it's kind of like, you know how when you're a kid and you're most kids say and think horrible things, and like, you know, there's the perhaps larger woman on the estate you live in, and you like say things about her that you look back and you go, God, I was a little bastard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of get the feeling that he looks kind of sinister, but he's just a bit of a grumpy old git, and you keep trying to get in his house because you've got it in your childlike head, like, oh, something's happening in there.
Yeah.
And I got the impression that actually there's nothing going on. He's just like, fuck off, kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. And you know what I mean? How children get this sort of flight of fantasy about, oh, God, something sinister. Like, that, you know, for us, there was like the old woman with the dog, and she kept offering us biscuits, and that was nice at first, but then it was like, oh, God, what if she's poisoning them and she's a child catcher? You know, stupid nonsense that, you know, perhaps does happen, but wasn't happening. You know, and I got the feeling that was, again,
possibly.
Maybe I'm putting more on this game than it deserves. It certainly seemed interesting,
that,
and I do want to play the version you're playing.
I think at the moment I'm frustrated because I can't see what you're supposed to do. Like, I've been in and around all of the rooms that I could possibly get into at the moment, and I just can't seem to work out, you know, the solution to the puzzle to move forward. And it's frustrating me at the moment. So I'm kind of dipping in and out of it. So, yeah.
I mean, it felt like a game designed with Let's Players in mind.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
It really strikes me.
It
started with an idea, you know, but it's now become this idea.
It really, really strikes me that this is a YouTube, you know, possibly a YouTube viral hit, you know, in the way that, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what
still have
it
that
strikes
music?
Me as.
Like, this really, like, I found the one thing that unnerved me the most is when he was getting close, like, the music, and then he would, like, run up on you and, like, grab you and say,
the screen starts to shake as well.
Yeah,
so it is a bit panic-inducing. And like I say, it's a creepy game.
Very,
In that you have that, you know, the sort of screechy music ramping up and the screen shakes, and it is a bit like, oh, you know, because all of a sudden he'll appear from nowhere and you're like, oh. So there's, so I've done a few things. Like, I've tried, like, I've went into the bathroom and I put the shower on, and just because I could, but I don't really know what it does, if you know what I mean. But I'm assuming it's something that I can use
to draw him.
To draw him, or, you know, as part of a puzzle or something. I don't really know. So it's very trial and error at the moment, and it's a bit frustrating. So I'm kind of reserving judgment on it at the minute.
Gary, you mentioned that, like, you know, oh, it's changed a lot. Have you been paying attention to this one, have you?
A little bit. I've seen it sort of, because it's been on, like, early access for a while, hasn't it, on PC?
For quite a while, yeah.
It seems to have evolved quite a bit, because, I mean, when it first started, it was a big-ish house, but not too big. But then, like, they'd do an update, and suddenly they'd have, like, massive chunks added to the side of the house. And
that's it. That's the version I've played.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, with each addition, it seemed to go a different way. And did, I think, like, right at the beginning, it was like you were moving into the house over the road. And you sort of saw over the road, similar thing to what Nicola was saying, like, he's shoving someone into a room. And there was even one of the updates, I think, you had a checklist of taking things into the house and stuff like that before you then go wandering into this other dude's house. So it has changed quite a bit, especially if you're now a child. So whether it's just, like, I don't know whether those updates are going to be later in the game, maybe, you know, and it's kind of like
maybe
they were testing the progression of it, or whether they were just kind of just testing different things and seeing if it worked. I mean, it could even be they were doing it that way just to throw you off the fact that when you finally get the game, it's completely different to how you thought it'd be. You know, it's just like they were just testing how the game plays, but not showing you anything of a story.
I suspect that Adam's feeling that actually you are the bad'un.
I really do think that's the impression I got.
Because,
you're bothering your neighbour. Literally, you are bothering your neighbour.
I mean, because it kind of sets the scene a bit, doesn't it, with these missing posters? So you've got it in your head that he's some kind of disturbing child catcher.
Yeah.
But, or that someone is, and then you see the scene you mentioned, and he's probably just thrown some rubbish in a cupboard, but you've taken that to mean he's captured another child.
Yeah. Possibly.
But I don't know.
He just happens to be watching like a horror film, and that's where the screams come from.
Yeah.
Well, the TV is on in his bedroom. So, yeah. So it's an odd one at the moment. I have to keep chipping away at it, I think, till it...
Yeah. Stay tuned, I suppose, in progress kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I've also been playing Okami HD. I've never played Okami before.
And nor have I, Nicola, nor have I.
Please tell
me about it.
I tell you what, that's a beautiful game.
See, I've owned this three times now and never played it. And I'm hoping... I've never spoken to anyone about it. Like, I've never actually... All I've ever heard is, oh, Okami's amazing, you must play Okami. I remember the Wii version where you could paint or draw with the Wiimote, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. The PS3 version, you've now got the new gen version. I think there's a 3DS or a DS game which is slightly different.
Yeah, it's a completely different game.
So what is Okami? I understand it's a watercolory, painterly version of an RPG. With a dog called Amoratsu.
I wouldn't say it was an RPG. There's some element of RPG in it, but
I thought
it's...
it was like a Zelda game then, like a Zelda-y.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, actually, I've not played a Zelda game, but from what I know, it's a kind of action adventure game with some light RPG elements. I'd say I've played so far,
hack and slash action adventure, like
the fighting in it is. Fairly simplistic.
Okay.
You can avoid a lot of the fighting, in fairness, from what I've seen. It's a bit of a slow start, but it's...
I have heard that.
It's based on... it's kind of like a Japanese... I mean, I don't really know an awful lot about Japanese culture and myths or anything like that, so this is completely a new thing for me. But it starts off with a tale of a village that's being tormented by an evil presence, who I can't remember its name. And each year, this presence would demand a fair maiden from the village as sacrifice.
Of course.
Until one year, the village is protected by a mysterious white wolf. Who slays the evil presence.
Not Geralt.
Not Geralt, an actual white wolf. And the village is then safe for like 100 years until this presence comes awake again.
I mean, it really sounds like you're describing Zelda right now, Ganon. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of Western myths as well, isn't it, this idea?
Yeah,
I mean, Beowulf is a similar story where, you know, the village demands a, you know, this monster demands a maiden. So anyway, you wake up and you are the embodiment of this god or goddess who was the white wolf, but you're now another wolf called Amoratsu, but you've got inside you the goddess who is the goddess of nature.
Okay.
And it's just, I've played about 3.5 hours so far. And like I say, it's a slow start, but it's so beautiful. Initially, I was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure I like the art style. But it just really? Yeah.
It's kind of off its time. You know,
yeah.
Like when it came out on PS2, there was a lot of like that self-shading kind of thing going on. I mean, granted, it's gone a bit further than that rather than just being cel-shaded, but
yeah,
it is very much of its time.
I don't think it looks dated at all, though. It just...
That's good.
It's really, really quite lovely. And what you're doing in it as this wolf, you're going round and kind of repainting the world, kind of regenerating it, because it's been taken over by this evil presence that's corrupted the land, and the trees are dead and it's very dull, and you're kind of going round with your brush painting the world again, and it's quite a lovely concept. I'm just really quite taken with it at the moment. You meet lots of people along the way and they give you little quests to do and you solve those quests by maybe drawing what they need, or it's quite simplistic in terms of its drawing. It might be just a straight line, but you also use your brush in battle, which is really cool. So you've got like a kind of sword or something on your back that you can use in battle. And then when you stun an enemy, you can then pause the game and bring out your brush and use the brush to like maybe draw a bomb or slash them or something. And it's pretty cool. I'm quite taken with it at the moment. But I understand it's really, really long. I read somewhere that it's like 30 plus hours or something. So
yeah, I never finished it on PS2. So I was gutted because I'd played for sort of 24, 25 hours and I can't remember how, but my save got wiped. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going back to that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have seen the end, but yeah, there was just so much to do again.
I've had a big smile on my face while I've been playing it and a couple of like, oh, moments while I've played it. So I'm keen to see where it goes, really. I'm still very much in the first sort of staging area, to be fair. Like I say, it is a bit slow to get going, but it's really quite beautiful. The premise is so you've got these celestial powers which all manifest themselves through a paintbrush, and you've got to find these, you've got to re-find these 13 powers, these 13 brush strokes. And that's what you're doing by moving through the world and doing little quests for people and fighting enemies, from what I gather, from what the game's told me so far. The only thing I will say, and I'm guessing this is because, you know, it's a Japanese game, is I just... The text speak has always annoyed me in games like this because I read very quickly and I want to be able to move the text on at my pace, not wait for it to finish sort of typing out and then there for a few seconds while it assumes people are reading. I've already read it. I want to click through. Yep. I want to click. I'm ready. I'm ready to move forward.
But then you feel like you're rushing. It's not voiced. It's just text.
Voiced.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of gibberish. It's gibberish.
I was playing, what was I playing where it does this? Oh, I can't think what game I was playing, but it does. It's voiced and it has the text.
Mm.
And I've read it before they finished it. And you're in that weird thing of like, well, I'll kind of just get on with it. Like, I know what you've said because I've read it. But also, I feel like I'm skipping the voice acting. And it's that weird thing of, I don't know what. You sort of end up just sat there listening.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah. Now, no, it's not voiced. But there, I mean, there is sound, but it's gibberish.
Not how gibberish are we talking here? Like ukulele or?
No, it's not that. Not that I remember.
It's not. It's not offensively gibberish. It could almost. I mean, it's got a faint sort of Japanesey sound to it.
See, I was going to ask you to do an impression, but now you've said that, perhaps don't. Just in case.
No, it's got a faint Japanesey sound to it. So
that's,
I mean,
a Japanese,
I know it's
game,
not.
It, as well,
I know it's not Japanese. I know it's no language. It's definitely gibberish, but it has a faint sound to it that it's maybe it's just Japanese gibberish. They gibber.
Could be.
They gibber in a different way. I'm really quite taken with it at the moment. We'll see how I go with it. Like I say, I'm kind of a bit in love with it. It's a bit gorgeous, Adam. It's a bit gorgeous.
It's another one of those games that I've always wanted to play, but whenever anyone says, oh yeah, it's amazing, it's this wonderful game, and I'm like, oh, I mean, everything you're saying sounds like it's for me, and then they always follow that up by saying, oh, but it's about 50 hours long, and I'm like, I can't. Like, I want to, but I can't. And I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day, but I was saying to them, like, I mean, they were agreeing, like, for a game, you might have even been on the podcast. We've done so many podcasts lately, I'm losing track of the amount of, you know, I don't know how we're still able to talk about things. We've talked that much recently. But I was saying, a game to capture me and be 50 hours long, it has to be something incredible. Mm. Like Horizon, like Zelda. Like, it has to be one of the best. You know what I mean? Mm. For me to go, yeah, okay, and I'm going to play 50 hours of this.
And I think this could do that, you know?
I mean, that's what a lot of people say.
I am quite taken. I mean, because it's really, it's just so lovely. Like, the animation on your as the wolf is simple, but it's effective. And it, you know, it's just really, the concepts in it are really quite beautiful.
Do you know the other thing, though, that also sort of a weird roadblock for me is that every time I look at it, it looks like the beautiful version of what Zelda Twilight Princess was.
Mm.
Like, whereas Twilight Princess is quite a dark game, it's the kind of the first Zelda I really didn't... Yeah, I bought it and I played it, but I didn't really get on with it as much as the others.
Yeah.
And
I'd say it's better than Twilight Princess.
Okay, but it's that kind of you're a wolf thing.
Right.
And I don't remember... the Wolf Zelda, Wolf Link controlling great.
No, this one does, though, if I remember.
He does, okay. Yeah, she does. Okay. She's, I mean, it's, she's agile and in the fighting. In the fighting, it doesn't seem, it doesn't seem weird that you're a wolf fighting humanoid or, well, they're not humanoid, they're like monkeys at the moment. I'm fighting monkeys.
So if I was going to sit down and play this for the very first time today.
Yeah.
Roughly how long would you need? Do you think I would need to give it in the first sitting, at least?
I'd say an hour or two.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough.
It's got a beautiful soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing but good about it, to be honest.
I mean, like I said, I'm not going to lie, it is a slow start, but it just, I don't know, just like the idea that you're going back and bringing life back into this corrupted world, and the way that it does it as well, because you do whatever you're doing with your little brush at source, and then it just flows through the area that you've just been in, and the area you've just been in just flourishes with life. It comes to life, and it's just really beautifully animated.
Also,
when you run as the wolf, you leave little trails of blossoms behind you. It's just really
lovely.
It's just really, really lovely. And if you jump where you've pushed off the ground, there's like a clump of like long grass and flowers and stuff that you leave that fades away. But it's just, I don't know, it's just really lovely. I'm quite taken with it.
I just wish Capcom would make some new games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting a bit fed up with it now. Like, as much, you know, I know, all right, fair enough, Resident Evil 7, and, you know, we'll talk about that in the Game of the Year podcasts, but I'm just a bit tired of, like, they've got some amazing IP, some amazing properties they have. And, like, recently when they announced the DMC collection, it's like, but, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool, that'd be cool. I can still play them games.
I want DMC 2. That's a game like that deserves a sequel.
Gary, I've said it before, and I've probably said it till our listeners are blue in the ears, which is not a saying, but it's one I'm going to make a saying right now. I'm blue in the mouth and they're blue in the ears. DMC is the best game to never get a sequel. It is, I would say, the absolute best game to never get a sequel. It is a continued crime against gaming that Capcom are not throwing every bit of money they've got at Ninja Theory to make DMC 2. Like, I even feel to this day, the fact it was called DMC colon Devil May Cry, I even feel like someone somewhere at Ninja Theory had the plan that it would have been called DMC 2 colon Dante Must Die. I literally feel that was the title, and that was even a difficulty in the original games. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, it is so, and it's a continued crime against gaming.
Is that because the bloody community was so mad?
It's exactly that.
Dante didn't have white hair.
Yep.
Well, I think it was partially that it wasn't Capcom developing it. And, you know, hey, listen, hate me if you want, but I think it had better combat than any of the DMC games before.
It's
by distance. And I like them. I like the originals. Well, not all of them.
I still like two. Like, a lot of people hated 2, but
2 was the one that was, yeah. I mean, I don't remember much about 3.
I played a lot of 4, and I remember playing the demo for DMC, but I'm so rubbish at hack and slash that I just never bought it because I knew I'd be horrifically frustrated by it.
See, DMC is one of those rare gems that kind of game where I just played through it. I think the preview build was half the game, and I think I played through that twice, knowing that when the final game came out, I would still have to play through it a third time. Because, you know, the final game's not going to have a level select for me to just jump through because I played it earlier on the debug. So I played through the preview build twice. I played through the retail build twice. I think then it came out on this gen and I played through that again. You know, and look, they're making Resident Evil 2 again, fair enough. But they just keep porting
that.
Games. Well, yeah. They just keep porting their old games. And it's almost like they're saying, hey, buy them, and we can make another one. But it's like, at this point, Akami's been out on at least four different consoles.
Yeah.
Most people who own it.
Well, it's the same with Dragon's Dogma, isn't it? I mean,
Capcom, yeah.
They just ported it. They didn't really do anything to improve it.
No, because they want to make money off of it in the hope that, I don't know, maybe they don't have any intentions of making another one. I mean, what was that deep down with Capcom? What was that?
That's disappeared.
That's disappeared.
We never got Dragon's Dogma Online over here.
That's right. Anyway, listen. as a fan of Capcom, as the publisher of the games I grew up loving the most, like Street Fighter, you know, those
like
kind
Street
of things,
Fighter 2
and Resident Evil,
17 different versions.
I can't crucify them for that. I can crucify them for the state of Street Fighter 5 when it came out. I still think 4 is the best, probably the best, bar that's Street Fighter 2, obviously. One day I'll get back into 5, but you know, Resident Evil, one of my favourite series of all time. Capcom are one of my favourites when it comes to the properties they own, but I don't want to play like the fifth version of Mega Man. I don't even like Mega Man, for the record. I don't want to play any new Mega Mans. I don't know. I just want them to use those. Resident Evil 7 was a step in the right direction. They've actually changed. You know, they went in a different direction.
Yeah.
But even by the end of that, they're kind of falling back into the action-y.
I think
they
did that on purpose as like, this is how you remember Resident Evil. You know, we're not going
well,
completely off
Well, remember Resident Evil 4
and
5 and 6.
You think?
But the thing is, Gaz, they had they had a real fork in the road point. Resident Evil 7, the mansion house section, is for me what Resident Evil should be. Like, that is, I think, without spoiling too much, Resident Evil, and this is definitely veering into Game of the Year stuff, so I'll be brief, but the Resident Evil 7, every bit of that game in the house is the best Resident Evil's ever been. It's the culmination of everything that made Resident Evil good. And the VR factor, you know, gave it that extra edge. Everything after that, I feel like, is them dropping back into kind of old stuff. And by old stuff, I mean 4 through 6. But if they keep the new Resident Evils going in the direction of the house stuff, they've got Revelations, which is also an incredible game, Revelations 2. They can do the action-y stuff there. Yeah. Like, there doesn't have to be... I don't know. Listen, yeah, this is Game of the Year stuff. Nicola, sorry, what else have you been playing?
Rainbow Six Siege, best multiplayer game out there at the moment. Just going to say
Capcom.
It now. Not by Capcom, by Ubisoft. Who knew?
Indeed. Another game I really want to get into, but I feel like I'm far too late now because people have been playing
that
for 2 years.
Do not think
really?
That. Absolutely not. I'm still learning it now. I'm still learning how to play this game, and that's why it's so brilliant.
I just love the idea of it.
Is utter garbage. I mean, Ubisoft
still?
Really needs... Oh, God, it's awful.
2 years?
Yeah, it's bad.
Jesus,
I mean, if Ubisoft could take, you know, some cues from old Respawn...
Anyone else?
Well, Respawn and Titanfall 2. Oof.
Okay.
If it ran as smooth as that, my God. But it is just such a good game. I mean, I drop off it and then I come back to it and then I'm, like, hooked on it again.
I saw you playing it the other night, actually, on PS4 now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got it on Xbox and PS4, but I'm playing on PS4 because I've got a group of pals on there now who, you know, we play together on it. It's so tense. You know, there's so much to learn. The maps, I mean, I'm still learning maps now on, you know, best approaches, where to breach, you know, where enemies are likely to be sat. You know, laying a trap or whatever. It's just such a good game. The community is utter garbage.
Well, aren't they all?
It seems especially bad in Siege. Yeah, it does annoy me a little bit because, like I say, I am still learning. I'm level 66, 67. I've got some hours in that game.
That's a lot of hours, yeah.
But like I say, you're still learning. I've still got operators I haven't unlocked, so of course they're going to be new to me when I get hold of them because I'm a tight ass. I won't buy the season pass. I'm doing it all by the grind, and the grind is real. So, you know, and then they release maps, new maps, and you've got to learn those, and it's constantly evolving, I think. And we mentioned this briefly in Game of the Year about the risks that Ubisoft are taking and some of the, the sort of innovative ways.
Games as a service.
Yeah, well, I'm not... I kind of struggle a little bit with that idea of games as a service for Siege because, I mean, I guess it is in some respects, but it was also a full price game at the beginning when it launched.
True, yeah.
And
but they won't put another one out. I mean, they might be a Siege 2, but not for a while.
No, I mean, they are updating it. You know, there's new operators, there's new maps. But in terms of it being... You know, like I say, the grind is real. You need 25,000 renown per operator. And to get 25,000 renown takes a long time and a lot of games. And of course, you can get rid of that by just buying a season pass. But, like, the season pass is £25.
So what does that get you, though?
It gets you all of the operators. So...
Because season pass in this game isn't the season pass I think most people are thinking of, is it? Like a season pass in the past, like if you buy a season pass, gets you kind of all the DLC. But this game has literally got seasons, hasn't it?
So there's a year one season pass and there's a year two season pass.
So if I want to get up to date right now, I'm going to get into this and I'm going to force myself because I'm going to buy everything. Can I just buy one thing that gets me everything?
No. You can buy the year two season pass, which will cost you £25, and that will get you all year two operators.
Right.
You then, if you want year one operators, you would then have to spend, I don't actually know what it's priced at the moment.
Probably lower, I would have thought, because it's old, perhaps.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a similar price.
So.
But I mean, buying the season pass, the only benefit of buying the season pass is you get all of the operators. So as soon as they're released, you have access to them and you get 7-day access to them before they then become available to everybody else who doesn't have the season pass. And they're only available to them if they've got enough renown saved up to buy them.
I don't like that at all, Nicola. I don't like that at all.
But do the operators actually change anything? Like,
are certain ones
better than others?
But you might find some more suited to you than I would. But like the idea that someone gets 7 days to play with them before everyone else.
But even after the seven days, so the 7 days is nearly up from these year two operators being released, and like I'm playing with. Four people who have all got that season pass. So they're playing with the new operators while I'm sat there going, well, I've only got three from year one.
I ain't paying.
Yeah. I mean, I am. I keep hovering over the buy year two season pass, but I refuse to spend £25 on it. I think 15 maybe, but 25.
Yeah, the pricing does seem a bit much.
Yeah, well, bearing in mind, let's say the game was, I don't know, £40 when it was released, and then it had a year one season pass at £25.
Yeah.
Plus now a year two season pass at another £25.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at, what's that, £90? Yeah. I suppose £90 over 2 years is
look at the season pass for The Witcher, which is kind of like the gold standard of... season passes. That was £20 and look how much that got you.
You can't really compare a single player with a multiplayer game, Gary. I mean, this is a pure multiplayer game.
But in terms of like value for money, it doesn't
seem like...
It
depends on what your value is, though, isn't it? Because how many hours have I put into Rainbow Six Siege? I don't know, because the PlayStation doesn't log it in the same way that Xbox does.
Say you were going to buy the season pass, right? Do you know... again, correct the figures, because I don't know, but say it's 4 new operators that are going to come in season 2 or 3, for example.
No, it's... let me think. There's 2... So there's an attacker and a defender. So it's brand new... counter-terrorist units. So each one will have an attacker and a defender. So let me think. There's Legion and thingy, Ella and thingy.
Oh, so there's going to be like 8 then?
I think it's like 8. Yeah, I think it's so, 8 new operators a year.
So can you now go and look at them and see what skills they would have?
Okay,
forget it. Yeah, I was going to say, because I'd be a bit worried if they're unannounced that you don't know what you're buying, but it sounds like you do. That's fine.
No, I mean, I think there's quite a... I mean, I don't keep up to date with all of the announcements and stuff. I know that Jim, I play with, he keeps track of it. So, you know, he watches a lot of the sort of launch stuff and he knows what the new operators are going to be. I don't really care. So I don't keep up with that. But like he'll say, oh, the new operator coming is going to have this, this and this. And he sits there and he sort of talks about, well, I wonder how that's going to work in terms of, you know, how that operator is going to work with this attacker or that defender or whatever. Because I'm a tight ass, I've got like the core operators and then 3 of year one operators. So I'm just like, well, I'm still learning Buck from year one. So, the game as a service. I mean, essentially, I guess it is a game as a service, but I find that attached to Siege a little bit. I don't know if it's a completely accurate description of what I would view games as a service to be, if you know what I mean. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's an amazing game. And I don't, other than the fact that I'd like to use these new operators because some of them look like they're really fun, I don't feel like I'm at a detriment that I don't have them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's enough
I don't
still.
Feel like I'm missing out and I'm getting, you know, overrun or I'm not able to compete with the core operators. That isn't the case at all. It's pretty balanced.
That was what Ubisoft were aiming for, wasn't it? Cause they got a lot of a backlash originally. But then they were like, okay, our season passes now are going to be essentially optional. You know, you're not going to miss out on any of the actual game by not buying it.
Yeah.
You'll just get some cool stuff if you do.
Yeah.
In that respect, it is quite... It isn't bad. I mean, what? It's essentially £25 a year it's been.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, yeah. Looking at it that way, it's not too bad. Maybe it could be a little cheaper considering what you get doesn't seem to be an awful lot. But
you
at the same time...
You get your operators, you get 7-day access to them, and you get a few bits like customization stuff, like maybe a few outfits or whatever, which I really don't care about.
No.
Do you
get like XP
also
bonuses
get...
or something?
No, you get like a renown discount.
Right.
So everything in the game is purchased via Renown or Rainbow Six credits, which you can buy for real money. Renown you earn just by playing. So if you want a skin for a weapon, it'll cost you Renown.
Yeah.
If you want, I don't know, an outfit for one of your operators, that'll cost you Renown. So if you have the season pass, you get like a 10% discount on how much Renown you need to purchase that skin. So, you know, it doesn't really seem like good value, to be fair. £25 for some operators, which admittedly
15.
I'd like to have, but I don't know. I'm tight anyway, so I'm the wrong person to be asking about this.
What else have you been playing then, Nick?
A little bit of Destiny 2, but I'll let you talk about that.
Well, I haven't got a lot to say, really. Like, I feel that the more I play of it, the more I like the core of it.
Mm.
But I also find that, and this is perhaps a stupid thing to say, so don't shout at me, but it's very much... I feel like Destiny, the first game, made a lot of mistakes, and everyone knows them, and they're well-publicised, and everyone's talked them to death. I feel like Destiny 2 slightly overcorrects, and also over-assumes. Like, I have absolutely no idea what is going on. Like, none. Like, this.
I don't. I don't, I don't really care.
I talked to Mick about this, and he loves the lore of Destiny, and I'm like, look, if you can get what you're getting out of this, then much respect to you. But, like, all I'm noticing is, like, there's a character who keeps popping up who is Silence from Horizon Zero Dawn, and, like, as good as he is as an actor, he's got one voice.
Oh, and that voice is in all... voice? Come on.
It's a very strange voice, I find. Oh. But, he, you know, he was in Quantum Break. He was in The Wire, I think it was.
Yes, is this the dude that was in John Wick? He's like the hotel dude.
It's Lance Reddick. Yeah.
And he's very good, but, like, he does one voice, and that's fine. But he pops up.
They always do.
Yeah, that's him. That's him. And he pops up, and he's this sort of overly serious guy. And then there's a woman
Zavala,
now.
Commander Adam. Come on, it's Commander Zavala.
Who's that?
Ah, yeah.
That's
because
the Titan of Vanguard.
I have no idea. Right, sure. I don't know what that means. He's a guy in the game who seems to be important, but he's lost his light. Though I found mine. I'm special. For some reason.
Along with like the other millions that, you know, quietly doing it off to the side. Like, we found our light as well, mate.
Yep, absolutely. They've all found their light, but that's not addressed, I don't think. But, like, I will say, when it actually comes down to it, the shooting's fantastic.
Oh,
like,
it's
amazing. It is fantastic. I can't pretend I'm not upset it's not 60 frames, because I feel like this game would be incredible with that. And I have got it on PC, but I've started, so I'll finish. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I'm not going to start again. I don't think Destiny or Destiny 2 opens in a way that it's like, oh, I just can't wait to play through that over and over again. Like, I don't want to play that again. I'm in it now.
It's a shame you can't carry it over.
Yeah, I know. You would imagine that sort of thing.
Yeah, because it's all saved server side, isn't it? Rather than
You can't.
Yeah,
I don't think. But like, I think I'm finding, and the way I mean the overcorrect is that a lot of people talked about the grind before, and I find that now I'm getting too much gear too quickly. Like, within a mission, I will get a gun, I'll equip it, and go, oh, I like this. By the end of the mission, I've had two more, and I'm like, well, can I just spend some time with this gun? No, I can't, because it's underleveled. So although I can spend time with it, I'm making the game harder on myself. And it's like, okay. And then...
What you like can do, though, once you get a gun and it's purple...
Yeah.
And you like it, you then use the guns that you don't like.
Yeah, I've heard this. I'm not there yet.
To infuse and raise its levels. So if you find one and you think, I really like this, but it's underleveled, and you then find a blue one or another purple one that's higher level that you don't like, you can use that to infuse into the one that you do like to raise its level.
Okay. I mean, I'm not there yet. I presume it will inform me of this.
It just kind of assumes that that's what you're going to do.
It kind of half mentions it, because I've got to around the point of being able to do that, which fares not that far.
I don't want to ask
myself, but
I don't know how far I am, but I'm not far. I really have not played a lot of it. I am enjoying it, and it feels like a game I can pick up and put down. The one thing I would say is, at no point do I feel like I should be ganging up with people. Like, I get that you can, but I feel like these story missions have got a lot of dialogue going on, of which, you know, none of it I understand, but whatever, it's there. But if I was with people, and this happened with Destiny, in the end it was like a mate of mine just jumped in, and it's like, can I just see the credits? Just to say I've done it. And we just barreled through it, and by the end of it, I'm like, we were chatting the whole way. It was almost like, I hear people talk about the ultimate podcast game, where you don't really listen to the audio, you put a podcast on and you just play. And this... I feel like if you play it in multiplayer, you're missing all that. And like, they've put it there so that they want you to see it, but at the same time, I don't understand any of it. And I feel like this weird mishmash of, like, it is a single player game, but yet people keep popping up. And I say, oh, there's someone over there. They want reviving. They're in my game. That's cool. I've no desire to then say group up or invite someone in. Or I feel like part of me should, because it's a multiplayer game. But at the same time, like, I'm never going to do the raids. Like, I just can't see a point where that I'm going to put that much time into it. But I am enjoying it.
Mm.
I am in very slow... Like, I'm nowhere... I don't even think I'm halfway through it. I'm very slowly getting through it, but I am enjoying it. It's a weird game. It's still a weird game. Like, people talk about Destiny 2 being the fix for Destiny. I still think there's a lot of weird stuff in here. Like, it's still got a lot of MMO stuff that it just doesn't explain. It just does not bother explaining any of it.
Mm.
And that's fine if you love it, but like, to say they fixed it, I think it's a bit disingenuous, because there's so much here, they just don't bother telling you.
Yeah,
not bother.
It's like they've gone, oh, you wanted a story. Okay, we'll give you a story, but
yeah,
that's what the classing is, like, we've fixed it. It's like, no, because the rest of the game's kind of not changed.
I think from... Well, I mean, I've got three characters that have all gone through and were close to max level before the Curse of Osiris expansion came out.
Uh-huh.
So I'm currently going through the Curse of Osiris expansion. I've played a little bit of it on my own with my hunter, and I've played nearly all of the story in a fire team of three with my Titan. And you say, I mean, the only difference between playing it on your own or playing it in a fire team is you get through it quicker.
See, this is what I was going to ask. I would say that I'm not finding it overly difficult.
No.
And if I added another load of players in, it's going to be a cakewalk.
You just get through it quicker. And it is kind of, I mean, because the shooting in it is glorious.
Oh, it's fantastic. It is.
And,
yeah.
You know, when there's three of you all sort of like chucking your grenades in and using your supers and stuff, it looks pretty cool. For me, they have fixed an awful lot of what made Destiny such a pain in the ass.
It's a lot of quality of life stuff, isn't there? Like, you know, holding down the touchpad on the PS4 to bring the director straight up, you know? It's funny, Nicola, you should say you're playing a hunter, right?
I play hunter. Well, my warlock is my main, but I've got a hunter, yeah.
So actually, the hunter's a prime example of how I feel. Either it doesn't tell you or you miss it. So... Your, I forget what they call it, ultimate, is it in this?
You know, the
super.
Is you go third person, you can smash your shield around, throw your shield and all that.
That's
great.
Cool.
Titan then. Okay, there you go. So I didn't even get that right. Titan is what I'm playing as. However, you can also, as Titan, put a shield barrier up, right?
Yep.
I didn't know that you could do that when you weren't in your super. So I ran and I pressed the circle button to slide and I held it a bit long and suddenly a shield comes up and I was like, shit, what? How did I do that?
Yeah.
And then I noticed a little icon is checking down next to my grenade icon. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Wait, hang on. I don't have to be supercharged for that.
No.
I thought that was something that's part of your super.
Oh,
I didn't know that was just a skill I had and I don't remember ever being told that.
That's a class skill. So your warlock has got like a healing rift or a damage rift, depending on which... tree of your upgrade thing you go
but I
for.
Felt really stupid because I don't I mean not that I'd struggled but it would have been there were some battles where that would have made things a bit easier
it's the very first thing you unlock Adam
but I thought that was I thought it was unlocking that as part of my super
because
you can upgrade your super can't you like so with as a Titan you can throw your shield and you can also use skill points to unlock a second shield throw I think or something like that so I thought that was my first unlock for my supercharge
no that branch before it branches off into two that very first starting thing to the left of it, you've got your class skill. So it'll be, you can, as a Titan, either do like a full-size shield.
That's it, or like
or
a semi.
Or you can do like a little barricade shield, which where you will automatically crouch behind it. And as I say, for a warlock, you get a healing rift or a damage rift. And then as a hunter, who is the most selfish class ever, he gets like a dodge roll thing that doesn't support the fire team at all. The Titan has, know, obviously a barricade. The warlock can heal you. The hunter can just dodge out of the way. Yeah,
then if you're
it
playing,
does
like,
in terms
I throw up
of
my
the
shield,
lore.
You heal us, you know? Well, no, I just mean in terms of like a co-op thing. Like I put my big shield up, we get behind it, and you heal us. Well, I assume it heals everyone in the vicinity.
Who stands
you heal
in
us
the rift,
all up.
Yeah.
And that's
but then the hunter,
co-op gaming.
The
yeah,
hunter,
just fucking rolls
it just
off.
Rolls away. Yeah. I mean, it works in terms of how much of a dick Cade is, who is the Vanguard hunter, but in terms
but you're
of
not playing
being,
as him, I guess.
Yeah, in terms of being a useful member of a fire team, a hunter is a bag of shit. Really is a bag of shit in terms of team makeup. And I watched a brief thing on YouTube of people who were doing the raid, and I was watching it because they were using the underbelly of the raid to get to the different rooms much faster, and I was intrigued at how they were doing that. So I was watching it and they were like chatting between themselves and they were saying there's absolutely no reason to play as hunter now other than you might like there is an exotic pair of leggings that you can get as a hunter called the Orpheus rig, which if you then equip those with the Night Stalker superpower, you can then generate lots of orbs for your team, which will mean that their supers recharge quicker. But it doesn't work on the boss in the raid. So they were saying there's no point using a hunter at all for the raid. Right. Because he doesn't help the team. So they were basically doing the raid as a team of Titans and Warlocks, which to me means the Hunter is fundamentally broken. He's fun to play, or she's fun to play as a Hunter because she's, you know, like really nippy and the jump is different and, you know, it's a fun character to play with. But in terms of, you know, doing any of the stuff that, you know, like the Nightfall or the raid or any of the sort of end game difficult stuff, a hunter's practically useless, really useless.
I mean, look, I'm going to keep going on Destiny 2. I actually am. I like what I played recently enough. I mean, I do think some of the levels are, like the one I'm on at the moment, I can't even remember the bloody name of it, but like I feel like I'm just going back and forth along the same sort of oil riggy section to get to the different things.
Oh, gosh, you're really early on then, aren't
you? No, I am. I am really early on, yeah. I'm only level 9.
Right.
Like, approaching light level, not light level, sorry, power level 100. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, so you're going to then hit a wall where you can't do any more story until you do some of the other bits.
No, I have been doing them. I have been, like, but...
Because there's like a cap, like you'll get to a point where I think you then have to be level 11 before you can do the next story mission. So you might have to do a little, maybe you might have to do a strike or
dick about cool, though,
doing
to
the
be
free
fair.
Roam
like
stuff or whatever. Yeah. And then I think there's another wall where you need to be level 15 before you can carry on. Okay.
No, like I say, I am super early, but I'm really slowly... I decided with Destiny, the thing is I feel like it's a game. If you're not there and playing it nightly from the start, forget about it, because people hit that cap, they hit that power level, and they just leave you behind. So I just have to accept that I'm going to play this slowly at my own pace and enjoy it.
I disagree with that in some sense, because that's what they fixed. They fixed that, because in Destiny 1, like if you weren't available to do the raid... then you missed out. You were never going to hit level cap, because the only way you could hit level cap was by collecting the raid gear.
Right.
So that's how I bounced off Destiny, because I could never be available to do the raid, because it needs a good couple of hours each evening and I just couldn't commit to it. You know, because people are saying, well, I'm not getting on till sort of 8, and I'll be going, well, I'll have to log off at 9, so there's no point starting.
No point,
So I bounced off it. With Destiny 2, it doesn't matter. You don't need to do the raid to get to level cap. So
that fear
of missing out and that fear of not keeping up with everybody goes, because you can do everything regardless anyway, because you can get to that level just by playing, which I think is better, but in some ways has also broken the end game. But anyway.
No, but I mean, like, if say you were to join, I mean, we're on different consoles, but if you were to join my game, you would be so overpowered for the enemies I was facing, it would take the fun out. This is what happened with Destiny 1. It took the fun out of it for me, because I was not damaging the enemies, whereas my friends were just like one-shotting them. And it's like, this is not.
Right.
I don't know. Like I say, I'll keep going. Very briefly, I've also played some Rec Room, which is a VR game that's finally hit PSVR. We hit it a while ago. I just hadn't got I didn't have my PSVR plugged in, to be honest with you. But since I plugged it back in, got it part of the setup, I've been playing bits and pieces. Like, if you're a Patreon, $1 a month, you'll have already seen me playing Doom VFR for 20 minutes and just showing you what that is. But, you know, I've talked about that. Rec Room is like a social space game where you play lots of mini games within it. And I won't go on about it too much, but I did have a lot of fun because... I forgot about voice chat in VR, and so when you're these two weird sort of cartoony avatars, I played a version of Pong against someone from... Actually, I don't know where they're from. It sounded like it could be, I don't know, an Eastern European sort of accent.
Okay.
I don't know, but it was to me, absolute gibberish. Like, I couldn't even identify the language, and I forgot, and then I just couldn't... I was a bit sort of... as you can hear, bunged up and a bit coldy and sick, and it kind of just tickled me, and I couldn't stop just sort of laughing, like, a bit like Beavis and Butthead. And then I realised my mic was on as well, so he was hearing it back, and I was sat on my ass playing this Pong game, and I couldn't swing at the ball properly, and it was just a lot of fun, and it reminded me of how good VR can be when it works. One thing I played is Monster Hunter World Beta, because I promised myself I'd play it, because I've always wanted to get into the series. Very early indications are, because I'm funny with betas. I don't like playing them too much because I feel like it's a demo of a game, and I always think back to Destiny, how I played that beta and then the second beta or alpha or whatever it was, and then when I got the game, I had to play that tutorial section a third time, and I actually think to this day that's what stopped me getting into Destiny, that I had to play it so many times that I was like, I'm fed up. I finally got past that tutorial, and I'm like, I've had enough already. I've played this part of the game three times, and tentatively, this does seem like the Monster Hunter I can get into, because it's not, it still definitely has the combat that is measured, and it's not a button masher, it's not a hack and slasher, it's not a DMC.
Right.
Which isn't actually a button masher either, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm mad keen on this game, Adam, so this is positive.
I am positive on it, actually. I am. It's still very Monster Hunter, but everything about it feels a little more accessible. I have some concerns about how much you have to attack an enemy to kill it, but then that's kind of the point, because you are hunting this one enemy. If you could kill it in three hits, it wouldn't be much of a hunt.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that I'm going around and I'm finding footprints that lead me to its den. I like that. In fact, I got it down to damage, and I was thinking, Jesus, this is strong, but again, it's supposed to be. Got it down to its health. It actually tries to run away and goes back to its den, so you have to like keep up with it and distract it and stop it, which I did. Not much more to say on it bar that, but tentatively, this could be the one, finally. This could be the Monster Hunter that actually gets me.
Great news. I mean, I've downloaded it. I mean, I was on a real rant last night trying to find the bloody thing.
Yeah, no, you're not
store.
Wrong, though. Yeah, it was a bloody nightmare.
Do you know, the only way I found it was I was reading a GameSpot article, and it was in there, and it was a link, and it took me to the US PlayStation Store. So I logged in, and then it said, oh, you're in the wrong region for this, and then it transferred me to the EU store, and then I said, yeah, download it on my phone, and then I obviously sent it to my PS4. I was so frustrated and cross last night trying to find it.
I couldn't even find it searching Monster Hunter World. It brings up the two options to buy the game, the deluxe and standard, but there was no option of try the beta.
No.
I think that's because although it's a beta, it's actually classed as a demo. So I looked up demos on the store and it was there.
Right.
And I was like, but it's not a demo, but apparently it is. Oh. But no, I'm. Don't get me wrong, Nick. I'm not saying, oh, God, play it right now. It's the most amazing thing I've ever played. I wouldn't go that far.
Right.
But for someone who has I've tried DS versions, I've tried the Wii U version, and I could always appreciate why people like it, but it was too slow for me, too cumbersome, too much. This, again, very much tentatively feels like it might be the Monster Hunter I need. I can imagine long-term fans hating it for that exact same reason that I like it.
Right.
We'll see. And I've also been playing a little bit of Ultimate Chicken Horse on PS4.
What the hell is Ultimate Chicken Horse?
So it's if I was to put down the games, I would say that party games, Jackbox. You know what I mean? That Jackbox is there. The other end of that, same quality level, but different. But needs a bit more. You need to be a person who plays games. Ultimate Chicken Horse, Gary.
Yeah.
This is your first time playing it, I believe.
Yes.
What do you think?
It's good, but
it is.
It's one of those games which is fun and it brings out the devious side of everyone.
Oh, yes.
Because the whole thing is, there's two sides of the game. It's like the first part is you have to, the whole thing is you're getting from like the start to the end point of a fairly small level.
So you get a square blank canvas.
Yes.
It's a platforming game, and you get a square level canvas with a start and a finish, and you take it in turns to put hazards and platforms on there each turn.
Yep. That's it. Yeah, you get that turn of everyone puts one piece on, and then the next turn is everyone trying to actually navigate the level to get to the end.
Get to the end of the level the quickest to win.
Yeah, it's like, but you can't, it can't be easy, because if it's too easy and everyone does it, nobody gets any points for it. It just classes it as too easy. So you've got to make it hard by putting down traps and things like that, and you can end up with some, we're talking like Mario Maker levels of cruelty.
Very much so.
But it's fun because you're all having a laugh, you're all doing the same thing, and you're just trying to make it more and more difficult for everyone else, while trying to sort of play to your own strengths as well. so that you might make the end while everyone else doesn't.
It's like a war of attrition, don't you find, as well? Yeah. Because everyone's putting down these spikes, or like there's a hockey guy who smashes a hockey puck in your back, and there's all these really evil contraptions that kill you or stick you or get you stuck. And then you're like, someone at some point has to go quietly to themselves, this is just too hard. I'm going to just put a platform down here because like we need some way of getting across this. And it's kind of a war of attrition to see who breaks first and just puts a platform down. It's really entertaining.
That's it, because you can move things that have already been put down, or you can use a bomb to destroy them as well, but that uses up your turn.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, you've got to go for the kind of risk-reward thing, but... Yeah, it's a brutal game, but it's made for getting people together, just sitting down on a couch and playing it.
Are the servers up for you? Because I was kind of intrigued to play the challenge mode where you can download levels that people have created. So you can kind of create a single player, but I couldn't.
No, they're not up yet, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, because it's a bit disappointing.
Download other people's levels and stuff like that, but again, it's just not on yet.
To sort of get the best time, can't you?
Yeah, it's just a shame.
So I couldn't even upload my level. I tried to upload a level I'd made that wasn't brutal, but it required, because the game's platforming, it's not tight, it's intentionally a bit loose.
Yeah,
like it's a bit slidey, which means you can make it's really difficult. So I tried to upload that level, but I couldn't because the servers are down, which is a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, well, it is nice that you can just go into build like free play and build your own level as well, and then you can upload that, which is, you can also upload the ones that you make via just the main game as well, which is quite fun. Some of them end up a real shambles, but they're good fun anyway.
I mean, I think again this is a game which, like, keep your eyes peeled, we'll have something on it soon, because with the servers being down, it is very much a multiplayer only game, isn't it?
Yes.
So what else have you been playing then, mate?
Wolfenstein 2.
Which yes, I've finally got
I've heard to. Of it. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Get in.
It was like after all the talk of it, and it was like it's cheap on PSN and stuff at the minute, I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna buy it.
They dropped the price of that real quick.
Yeah. I'm about 5 hours in.
Okay.
I'm just about to go to New Orleans, I think.
Okay, you're quite early.
Yeah, but it's batshit mental. But it's
and
great.
The funny thing about that is me and Nicola said again, you think it's mental now, do you?
Yeah, it's like you ain't seen nothing, mate.
Yeah, cool.
Nothing.
Yeah, cool, Karen. Yeah.
No, but it's...
He really hasn't.
It's so good, though. You two have both said it, though. The feedback's shite.
Non-existent.
There was one point where I was getting shot from, like, all angles, and I didn't know at first. It's only then I look down and it's like, shit, I've got barely any health left. And I'm looking around, I'm like, I can't really see who's shooting me either. Yep. So I had to hide for a moment and just sort of get bearings. And then it was luck that I managed to get through it. But it's just like, how did this make it through testing without some form of combat feedback?
The more we talk about this, and there will be... We haven't done Game of the Year yet. We're about halfway through, like breaking the fourth wall, but we're about halfway through-ish of our deliberations. So we literally haven't decided Game of the Year. But the more I think about Wolfenstein 2, the more I wonder if it is a lore decision. Like, he's supposed to be kind of impervious to pain because he's just like this killing machine.
Yeah.
But from a gameplay perspective, it does not work. Because unless you've got someone, a second player, staring at that number counting down of your health, you just don't see it until it's too late.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, all it needs is a tiny, even if it's barely visible, just like a little marker telling you where you're being shot from. Like other games do it.
Yeah, or even like a rumble or something, just some feedback that you're getting hit. It is by far the worst bit of the game.
I agree.
And as a shooter, you do kind of need that feedback that you're getting hit, because it's just too easy to die in that game, particularly on harder difficulty levels. It's just ridiculously easy because you just don't know that you're losing health.
Yeah. So that's why I mean, I took your guys' advice. I just bumped difficulty right down. I just want to blast through it and have some fun. Luckily,
I was
going to
say, I think that is the wise choice because it's a long. Well, I found it a long game, but I mean, I played it on the default difficulty, and I was playing it thinking, oh, actually, I could probably bump this up, but I won't because I'm playing it for review and I want to get through it. But it has some really, really strange difficulty spikes. Like, there's a few parts of the game that had me stuck for quite some time. A little bit spoilery, but one of them is in a court. The courthouse.
I cannot imagine playing that on anything other than that lowest difficulty. In fact, I do know someone who did, and he was like, this is fucking broken.
Yeah. I mean, I played, like I say, I played it on the default normal difficulty, and that had me stuck for quite some time. And I was getting really frustrated with it. And part of that was because of the poor feedback. But it just keeps chucking enemies at you.
And
they're,
like,
and they're coming from all over because it's in a circular room. And it just feels like you've got no cover at all.
But again, I think that that's narratively intentional. I mean, I might be giving them too much credit.
True. I do think
like,
that is
the case. You're not
supposed
to be able to win, but you do.
But you have to win to proceed.
Yeah, I know. That's
and
what
that's
I mean. Like,
the problem.
I think it's wrong. Like I might be giving them too much credit. I don't know. Unless on what they can come out and say, I don't know.
I genuinely, because like I say, I think the default difficulty is maybe one or two above the very lowest difficulty.
Yeah.
And there's like something like seven or eight difficulty levels. And I genuinely do not know how you can play that game on its hardest setting. I just don't know how it would be possible because of the poor feedback and because of just how brutal it is on default in places. It's just, I can't, absolutely will I never, I will never play that on the hardest difficulty because
I think
I can't.
You need to really hate yourself.
Yeah,
to do
I
that.
Just, no chance.
Or be a savant, basically.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you do it. And I don't know why you'd want to, other than for, you know, preening purposes. You know, oh, I beat it on Bastard Hard difficulty level.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, though.
Oh, I mean, it's batshit, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, just some of the stuff that I've seen so far is great. You know, there's laugh out loud
nothing.
Funny at times.
You ain't seen nothing yet, telling you.
Yeah.
Now it's just kind of the race to can I get it done before we start talking about the big stuff.
I think you can.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing?
That's about it, really. I mean, I finished Mario Odyssey.
Of course.
Which, that's just gorgeous.
Yep.
Now it's a case of going back and mopping up moons.
As much or as little as you want, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Because, I mean, if I wanted to, I could just go, right, I'm done. But I do kind of feel like going back and checking out some of the moons that I've missed, plus you get extra ones.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a bit of a spoiler, but not.
I mean, by now, like, there's people know it's a collectathon.
Yeah, but, I mean, every Mario game now has that. It's like, once you've finished the credits roll, you know that's not it. You know, that's like halfway through the game, essentially. But yeah, it's great fun. You kind of need that kind of game now and again, you know.
Yep.
It's been a great year, but let's face it, most of the games have been in some form or other murdery or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, it's been a lot of death and destruction kind of thing. So it's nice to come into something like Mario and just have, you know, you have a big smile on your face when you're playing it.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's the podcast, and I want to say we'll see you next year, but you will hear our voices a lot next week. The Game of the Year stuff will be starting Monday. If you're a Patreon, it'll be starting Sunday. And even halfway through, it's looking like probably the longest. The decision to cut it into days rather than one big episode as we normally do, I feel like I've made a wise one because, I think last year's was about 5.5 hours.
Yeah,
and
I
think
we're
already
that.
At four, aren't we? And we've only done six categories.
We've done 2 of 5 days, so I think it would have been one hell of a long podcast. And I think more than anything, that's a call to how good the year's been that the discussions are taking so long. But yeah, that's next week. We're still hoping to bring like a one-off, not typical podcast that Gary and Chris are planning. We don't know if we'll get that done or not, but you're going to have enough of our voices. But otherwise, bearing in mind we'll be speaking to you from the past and the future, thank you very much for your support this year. We'll be back every Wednesday in the new year when everything, you know, you'll see everything gets up and running. And if you're unsure, stay tuned to godisageek.com. Stay tuned to @godisageek on Twitter. @Nicola. Nicola can be found @wavy_gravy. That's @wavey_gravey. Gary is @BlueFury47. I'm @GibberSurf. He's not here, but we always give a shout out to Chris @FirstAventer83. Facebook, God is a Geek. Twitter, God is a Geek. Everything's youtube.com/God is a Geek. Patreon.com/God is a Geek if you're interested. But that's about it. Next week, as I say, Game of the Year. So we'll speak to you then. But otherwise, thank you very much for all your support and for listening to us throughout the year. Nick, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Gaz, same.
Same. You're welcome.
Yep. Chris, same. Oh, no, he's not here. Never mind. That joke ends here. I'm not doing it anymore. Thanks very much, and we'll speak to you very soon. Bye-bye for now.